Chief Economist at Stanlib, Kevin Lings, is joining us once again this morning. Our conversation is regarding the anticipated petrol price hike that will be next week. We've already got an indication that it'll be something close to 4 Rand. We've been seeing almost consistent increases in the petrol price for the past year and a half, which is, of course, part of what's fed through, well, at least this year, 6 months, let's say. What we've seen feed through to the inflation price, and of course now interest rate hikes, and government has already tried to step into the breach by stemming the increase through reducing the fuel levy, but that will now fall away. Kevin Lings, how might that impact our pocket next week? Hello and welcome back.
Good morning, Jess. That's a negative introduction to the topic. But you're right, monster increase going to come through at this stage. I guess we're looking at, in terms of the data, 3.92 rand a litre for 95 octane. So monster increase, and increases across all the different fuel categories. And obviously, that's going to push up the fuel price to a record level, and clearly going to add to the pressure on consumers, because, you know, in the background, I'm concerned about the buildup of food inflation. And then obviously you've got electricity outages and all kinds of other pressures. So not a good environment for consumers. The government's in a difficult position now, because obviously the suspension of the 1.50 rand is costing quite a lot of money. They said they're paying for that out of the sale of the strategic oil supply, but they haven't indicated how much oil we've got in that strategic supply, and it's scheduled to end now at the end of this month. And the Minister of Finance said he's not keen to extend that. But when they made this announcement initially on suspending the fuel levy, the 1.50 rand, they said they would announce a more comprehensive set of measures to assist consumers in June. But we've seen no indication of what those measures are or might be. And obviously, we're now very close to the time when they've got to increase the fuel levy. So it remains a little bit unsure as to how government's going to proceed. But at this stage, yeah, a huge increase, and I think consumers are going to push back. And we've seen that in if you look at the wage demands that are going on, whether it's the revenue service, the public sector, mining sector, there's a lot of wage demands currently. And I think if this type of price increase goes through, plus you've got the food prices going up, I think we're going to get a very harsh winter phase that's going to result in social protest, and it's going to result in demands for higher wages.
So, Kevin, there are demands, and as you said, there will be consumer pushback, but all of these, particularly in the position that South Africa happens to be currently, are, you know, kind of screaming into a void that is unable to really hear or scream back. And I say this because, one, I think you and I and most of our listeners know sort of 10% wage increase demands, and as much as we may empathize with them, are simply not feasible at this time. In many respects, and if, you know, with over 35% or around 35% unemployment, keeping the job is really the bonus. Secondly, when it comes to the interest groups that are saying to government, just scrap the fuel levies and the like, or even myself at a point, I was saying, just scrap them. I mean, why am I paying more for petrol than petrol actually costs? That is sort of the second largest source of income for the government. And then what happens to everything else? So help us understand this terrible kind of rock and hard place that we're at.
That's exactly right. So companies are going to struggle to give in to these sorts of wage demands. And government's going to struggle to give in. Government simply doesn't have the budget to afford the type of increase that the public sector is looking for. And companies have already tried to cut costs. And I think if you get big wage demands come through, you'll see more cost cutting in terms of further reduction in numbers of people employed. And at the moment, our labor market is 1.8 million jobs below the level that we had before COVID started. So, you know, monster unemployment. And obviously this has the potential to add to that, because the economy is so weak, companies can't easily pass those price increases on, whatever those price increases are, whether it's wages, whether it's the fuel levy, and other electricity type costs. They can't simply pass that on to the consumer because the consumer just can't pay up for those types of increases. So companies end up trying to take other costs out of their system. And at this stage, probably that falls on the labor market. So that's one dilemma, and I don't think that's going away. And then on the other side, you know, government, the fuel levy became a proxy for VAT increases. So for many years, we avoided the VAT increase, but we just perpetually increased the fuel levy and the road accident fund. And that effectively played that role. Now we're in a position where government realizes they can't keep increasing the fuel levy. But the road accident fund has a huge, huge shortfall, and the fuel levy has become a very, very important component of government revenue. So it's not a simple thing of simply of government saying, well, we'll scrap the fuel levy entirely because they're going to end up with a big revenue shortfall, and they don't really have the gap to fill that. They can't easily increase other taxes to compensate. So you end up being stuck, and it's the problem with a weak economy where you don't have options. You don't have an ability for consumers to be in a better shape because they're more there's more vibrancy in the economy and they've got a little bit more money and they can afford these types of increases. Everybody's at the margin. So, you know, I'm not sure what the answer is now. I think that it would be wise for government to look at options to try and just mitigate this increase because it's coming at a time when you've got a convergence of factors hitting the consumer. As I said, you've got electricity, water outages, and then you've still got unemployment, all kinds of other things. So it would be wise for them to look at an option, see if they can't extend it for a while, see if they can come up with some longer-term mitigating factors. Although when you look at that, they're talking about a couple of cents here and there on reducing storage costs or distribution fees. There's a whole lot of levies that are included in the fuel price. And you can whittle some of those down, but you're going to end up saving literally a couple of cents a liter, and it's not going to make a major difference to consumers under current circumstances. But then you've got to look at bigger options, a better transport, public transport system, other options for, you know, introduction over time of, you know, fuel efficient vehicles, electric vehicles, that sort of thing. You've got to look at a wider option. And then ultimately, you know, we've got to have much more vibrancy in this economy so that we've got choices. Government is able to raise taxes in a variety of areas, et cetera. Consumers are in better shape. So there's longer term things that this is telling us we've got to deal with.
I agree with you. In the meantime, next week, I mean, but we'll see. Kevin, we have to go. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure hearing from you. Always so great the way that you unpack the economy for us. Chief economist at Stanlib, Kevin Lings. Thank you so much.